We are bringing in Untate Thabo Siyekane, who is an African traditionalist and a founder of Mara Basotho, which is a Basotho language and cultural preservation organization. Untate Thabo, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Welcome to Area Code. We're speaking about the different myths that have been created, especially in the African sense. And maybe if we can just start off with the understanding of where myths created to create some form of guideline to try and instill some good values in us.
I can tell you that I regard myself as a Mosotho activist. And then we have an organization called Mara Abasotho. The aim is to conscientize our youth or our young people to really appreciate their roots. They must know where they come from, because we believe that if we do not know where we come from, it will be very difficult for us to know where we will go into. So we are organizing cultural activities whenever it is convenient to us, like, for instance, on Heritage Day, we would have a gathering of all Basotho to come and, you know, showcase their dances, music, food, and everything. And I always say to people that, yes, I know that people generally want to speak of Africanness. Before I can be referred to as an African, I must bring my Basotho into it. So as even in that basket, big basket of Africans, I must also be acknowledged and recognized as a Basotho. Well, to us, Basotho means black people. That term was coined by Queen Mushweshwe when he had, you know, found, you know, refuge for all people who were running away from Shaka during the Sakane time. And then he then realized that, look, I've got a lot of different people and maybe nations then. And then he decided that people must now be regarded as brown people. Basotho means brown. So I don't have a problem in being seen as a person who is really out and out to ensure that Basotho culture and their language is preserved.
Nantate,
are you still here
with you? I'm just listening to you attentively, and I like the understanding that you've brought into how we also need to understand where we're coming from in order for us to get to where we want to be. Now, specifically zooming into the different myths that have been created, especially in our African background, things such as the likes of you can't eat out of a pot because it's going to rain on your wedding day, things such as, you know, you can't stand there and sweep off izibi onto me because I won't get married as well. Why was such myths created? Was it some sort of guideline to try and instill some good values in us?
Look, that is so true. That, you see, it's just unfortunate that people do not appreciate those now, but they were there for a reason, and they worked for our people. We knew that if, you know, there's, for instance, a death in the family, and we need to really respect that, and we were given a guidance as to, look, if you are a man or a woman, and your wife or your husband has passed on, you need to spend a certain period that would be called a period of mourning. Then in our custom would refer to that as tapo, rala tapo. Therefore, things like that, believe you me, they did build us as a nation. There's a lot of those things. For instance, girls knew that, like you said, if they eat in the pot and they don't really eat from, you know, where they're supposed to, when they maybe get married, it may rain. So who wants to have rain on your wedding day? So we have, a lot of such. Now, for instance, young girls were not allowed to eat, eggs or the insides of a slaughtered, cow or sheep. And if you check that out, you'll notice that is highly nutritious food, full of, all packed with all the proteins. So people in the olden days didn't have clinics where they go and get maybe pills or something like that. They had their own. They knew that, look, if young girls eat a lot of proteins, they are going to be fertile, and chances are that they might become pregnant at an early age.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
So it wasn't like they have been discriminated against. It was a way to try and protect them, against what one would refer to as early pregnancy. So some of these things were not explained to people, to a lot of people. Now they will just bundle some of these things into that and say, girls were being discriminated. It's not discrimination. It was protection in any way. So it's not only eggs and fertile the insides of the animal, but there are also other things that they were not allowed to do. I mean, look, you are not discriminating if you say that women women and children must be protected, and as a man you must go out and hunt. You cannot expect women to also go out there and hunt, and I don't think that is discrimination. They had their own place. They were respected. Therefore, I know here and there some of these things might be debatable, but believe you me, it was all these things were done in good faith.
I know. I hear you, Mr. Siekane. I remember a point in time where my grandmother used to say to me, if I buy my partner shoes, right, she would actually leave me. And I battled with that, right? And I just wanted to ask from you, where does this come from and the thinking behind this? Were they trying to save, they were trying to help me to save money or what? Because I'm literally trying to understand. because I'm really trying to understand. Or probably maybe my grandmother didn't like the type of woman that I was with back then. I'm just thinking about it.
Because look, I mean, some culture granted is dynamic. Some of these things are new. Let's just throw our eyes back. In the olden days, we used never to have shoes. Why then would we have a problem with shoes that we didn't have? So these are new things that are creeping into our culture, and some of us we do not know about them.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I mean, she had an interesting way to to actually reprimand me. Eh?
No. What you're coming up with is there. It's there in the open. People believe that, you know, you buy your wife's shoes.
Yeah.
Believe me, you're driving her away.
Yeah,
that's not true.
Yeah, it's not true. So that myth, yeah. It's.
But I'm sure there is someone who it might have happened in coincidence that after buying the shoes and then they started believing it, and maybe that brings me to my next question, Ntate Thabo. Why is it that until today, to date, we are still following these myths? You know, we are aware that they might be false, or maybe they were put there in terms of a guideline to assist us. But what kind of background or what grounds us to still believe in these myths and use them to date, especially in our household?
Even if people claim that they still following them, that's negative. They go for those that suit them. Mm. And they'll say, no, we are doing okay. That. For instance,
it's like the Bible.
Witchcraft is not a black thing. When I first read of witches, I think it was in one of the Shakespeare books, literature.
Mm-hmm.
So some people will say, impose witchcraft on us and say, no, we're still practicing this and all that. I'm saying, yes, you are right. Some of the things, yes, we are still training on them and we believe. Because most of these things happen because you believe. It's a question of belief, but we are trying to sift out those that do not make sense. We are saying to our kids, culture is not static, culture is dynamic. So perhaps people confuse their customs sometimes with the bigger picture called culture.
Mm-hmm.
So culture has to be something that really benefit us all, and if you shouldn't look at it at items like, yeah, you see there, this is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they do. Culture must be all encompassing, must be something that we understand. Look, this has been our way of life. We can improve it and throw in new things, and that dynamism will constitute, you know, culture.
Yeah, no, you're making valid points. You know, I'm thinking here, and I remember a time, and Tatesiekane, I had a ringworm, right? And someone said in the house, hey, probably one of your relatives, they're actually pregnant.
Even a, what is it called? It's not a bee. There's this, why is it losing me? But there is this black and yellow, sort of like a wasp or something. And if it's in the house, people would say things like someone is pregnant.
Yeah. So like, you know, is this still... Is this still linked to a myth or a belief, or is there such a thing? Eh?
There are myths that are there, but believe you me, I don't think they are specific to black people, because when you see two doves and stuff like that, I remember when we were still growing up, you would have love for so.
That's why it's like his mind.
I remember that.
No, but Marona mustn't listen to me.
No, yeah, I like the point that you're making, sir, that they are actually not specific, you know. And and I think it's safe for us to say that some myths don't work. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, it's true. It is true. They are just there. For instance, I was watching it was news, in fact. Mm-hmm. There was this lady, possibly because of old age, mm-hmm. she's got maybe Alzheimer. Mm-hmm. And then this lady was found naked because of her state of mind.
Mm.
Then people would just look at her and say, look, because she's even naked,
yeah.
She is a witch.
Mm.
You see? So some of the myths, because that's how we were brought up.
Mm. Yeah,
that, look,
yeah.
people bewitch.
And then we then link everything, you know, to witchcraft, so to say.
That's so true. That's so true.
And you know, when it
let's go for the positive ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I certainly agree with you because yeah, they do create a lot of animosity, and you'll find that there are community members that just wouldn't like your mom because she's been called maybe to ancestral realm or something yeah. like that, Mfundisi, or I don't know, a Sangoma. But people, because of the lack of understanding,
true.
Will not be able to conclude, kahle ukuthi, no, actually, this is a part of who we are as African people as
you
well.
You are so right. I believe in what is called the African religion.
Mm.
African religion would have ancestors. And we believe or they are there, they mediate between ourselves and the super being, which is, we still know that God exists. So, simply because I happen not to be belonging to your religion, then you look at me, at my spirituality, as something that is taboo to you. And yet, look, I always say to people, no one has ever died and come back to tell us what.
That is true.
Yeah, that's true.
That is
beyond
true.
You're the grave. So accept us as we are. Right. It's true because some people also are using, you know, some of these so-called gifts to manipulate people. So now we cannot decipher as to which one is the right one, which one is not the right one. Mm. I can say this for a fact. I remember one of my younger brothers. You know, this guy was so broke. Then he decided, as he was hiking or something like that, he went into the farms there and claimed that he was a healer or something. And he got some sheep, goats there, and he was telling me that this I did, and people believed me. So can you see? That's manipulation of our customs and traditions.
That people is really what it is.
Use it for their own egocentric purposes, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So when you speak spirituality these days, indigenous, you know, of indigenous people, we easily get confused because some of us, because we are enlightened, we take everything with a pinch of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we need to do because we would literally be in pain all the time and upset and with rage because of all of these things. Ntate Thabo, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Area Code. It's been lovely chatting with you. And I think we have definitely busted these myths this morning.
Thank you for having me. I also enjoyed the discussion.
Have a great day, sir.
Ntate Thabo Siyekani, an African traditionalist and founder of Maraba Sotho, which is a Basotho language and cultural preservation organization.